Welcome back to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and we're blessed to be here in the lobby of the Wynn at our studios with SiriusXM, and I have the medalist edition. There's so many medals here. Chad and I are just amazed. We're trying to keep track of all the gold, silver, and bronze and world championships.
They just keep piling up.
But, you know, like, when I'm talking to my wife, she's impressed with all of you. You know, I go through the names of my co-hosts, and she's like, wow, you know, LaShawn Merritt, John Goyle, and the amazing Chad Sandringan. But this guy, he wins the women's hearts in the way that women really should be won over, which is through their stomachs. Yeah. It's an understatement to say he's an owner and a restaurateur. He's truly the Hall of Famer of culinary arts. And if you mention his name, it's like mentioning Einstein's name. You say Einstein, everybody around the world says genius. When you say Wolfgang Puck, everybody says delicious.
Unbelievable.
And you actually know him. We actually know him. Welcome to Office Hours, Wolfgang Puck.
Hello. It's so good to be with you guys again. Thank you.
Well,
I can't wait to go to Vegas. I'm coming next week for the Formula One. So
yeah, well, you're going to love that a lot more than this show, but you're always welcome in person. We would love that.
I love to talk about food, so it's a good thing.
You're very good thing. And for us, I love to talk about genius. And we were talking about Einstein and Wolfgang Puck, and people would, in their own realm, call them geniuses. And for me, I have defined genius as the expression of God. And if you've eaten Wolfgang Puck's food or visited his restaurant, you know this is an expression of God. And there's no better way to experience God than, for me, eating. For you, Wolfgang, you are an inspired entrepreneur, and you use food as your platform to allow other people to experience this genius. How did that evolve for you to know your genius and to be able to express it so well?
You know, it's interesting. The first time where I really thought I was good or whatever was at Beaumania when I was 19 years old. And the owner at that time was 72 or 73 years old. He was the chef, Raymond Tillier. He actually is my mentor. So I remember when he went on vacation, for example, he told the chef, the executive chef of the restaurant, who was maybe 40 at that time, he said, I'm leaving for 5 days for Cannes. He had a house there. But I want Wolfgang to do this sauce. And I was this little Austrian guy. You know, I didn't think there were 20 other French guys in the kitchen. And so I thought, you know what, maybe I make better sauces than they do or something like that. And then I was at Maxime's in Paris, and this day tough with everybody. So I was making, I still remember, I was making a scallop dish with the sauce. And he tasted the sauce and said, who made this scallop? And I said, I did it. I thought something bad going to come out. He said, that's the best sauce I ever tasted in that scallop. So, and I said, maybe I'm better than a lot of people, not the best, but good enough to continue. And I think that's what happened. And when I came here to Los Angeles, for example, I worked at a restaurant called Ma Maison, which was bankrupt when I started. And then I started to prepare good food. I used to go to the fish market, buy some fresh fish, and I drove down to the Chino Farm and got fresh vegetables. So it's all with the great ingredients. You can make great food. And the restaurants start to get busy. So when I started, we grossed like $18,000 a month. That was in the 70s, like 75. And when I left in 80, we grossed $300,000 a month in the same size restaurant, except I built a bigger kitchen midway through. So I saw, you know, the people like my food, or I cooked food what people really like. Sometimes I don't know really, you know, they like my food or I know what they like. So it's interesting.
Well, I love your food, and I know you do too. LaShawn Merritt, meet Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck, how are you?
How are you? I'm excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Meet you.
Thank you. Thank you. I am a 3-time Olympic gold medalist and 11-time world champion in the sport of track and field. And
what specialty in
400 meters, the hardest one. Oh,
wow. Suffering. Yeah.
You know, and nowadays I do a lot of inspirational speaking. And when I do speak, I talk about my parents a lot. And my mom comes up a lot and my dad in my journey. And I recently saw that you opened a new restaurant in Vegas. And it was influenced from your mom.
My mom, you know, let me tell you my little story about my mother, my father. My mother was like an angel. My father was drunk and he was crazy and beat up on myself and everything. And he always told me I was good for nothing. Mm. You know, and he built the house where my sister still lives there by himself, basically. But I used to bring bricks and mortar and everything up when he was doing the walls. And I hated it. And he thought, I should become a mason or a mechanic or some manly profession, he thought at that time. Remember, that was in the 60s. So I hated it. All I wanted to do is get out of the house and get away from my stepfather. And, when I was 14, I never went to high school. When I was 14, my mother found me a job as a chef's apprentice. But my mother was a chef also. So in that hotel where she worked, I used to go in the summer and work a little bit in the kitchen, especially in the pastries with the sweets and everything. So that's where it really started. But it was so interesting to think of my father saying always, I was good for nothing. I'm never going to amount to anything. And then years later, when I had restaurants, when I became successful, he said, yes, I know. If I would have been like the other guys, you know, you would still be at home in Carinthia and be good for nothing, you know. So it's because of him. He took all the credit. My mother used to get so upset about that, but it's interesting.
John, meet Wolfgang.
Wolfgang, pleasure to meet you. So many things I'd love to ask. you know, I'm an experimental chef myself, nowhere in your category, of course, but in my sport of speed skating, there would be days where I would finally get it right. And so I would experience, you know, lap after lap where I've just mastered the technique and I've got it down perfectly. And then the next day I'm a complete disaster and I don't know what's going on. And then the same thing happens for me in the kitchen where I will be experimenting with ingredients. And some days I get the mix right and everything flows together and I have like the best meal I've ever had. But then this is my quandary and I wonder how you do it. Like, I don't really remember how I did it. So how did you take your ability to make that sauce for the scallops and replicate it? Because key to your success is you have to be able to replicate what you've done.
Consistency is the really most important thing. You don't want to go to a restaurant, get a great meal, and then you go back the next day and said, what happened to my scallops or what happened to my duck this time? You know, so maybe you make an excuse for once, but if you go back the third time and it's still not like it was, like you remember it from the first time, you will never go back. And you know, we always say we're only as good as our last meal,
right?
So to me, it's really an important part, consistency. But it starts with the ingredients. I still go to the farmer's market here in Santa Monica. I go to the fish market and look at the tuna or the black bass or all the fish they have, the spot prawns, you name it, and buy the best ingredients. Because if you just call up, they don't going to give you something what just came in. You know, they have to sell the older stuff first. Right. So when I go, I always go in the back refrigerator and look at the boxes. They were not even open. And this black bass or striped bass came from Maine or the scallops or from here or the lobster. And I always take the fresh one, the best one. When the guy cuts open a tuna, I said, okay, I want the center cut of the belly, the best one. And when I go to the farmer's market in Santa Monica, you know, I want the Mara de Bois strawberries, which have the best flavor, the best perfume. Or I want the French haricot vert, the small green beans, really small, because they taste better and they look better. So for me, it's all about the ingredients. And then we try not to screw them up. So
that's my methodology in life. Try not to screw it up. I will say, John, one of the lessons I've learned when, and I thought you were going there, is there's certain people that practice till they get it right. Tiger Woods, right? He would always say, David, I practice till I don't get it wrong. And there's a very deep gap between the people that practice till they get it right and those who have enough time, effort, and consistency to practice till they don't get it wrong. Yeah. And I have a feeling Wolfgang's one of those people. Chad?
Yeah, Wolfgang, it's a pleasure to meet you. From somebody who had to make their way and make their own money and grow their career, I remember a shift. In my book, I talk about shift, see how I find truth moments. And one of my shift moments was being able to afford to take my wife to dinner at one of your restaurants. And it was one of these things. It was one of these things as somebody who didn't have a lot of money is that one day I'll be able to.
No more Red Lobster?
No, I'll be able to take my. don't sleep on the cheddar biscuits, right?
Right.
But that I'll be able to take my wife. And that day happened when I was able to take my wife to a Wolfgang Puck restaurant here in Las Vegas. And it was a monumental moment. People think it's just a meal, but people aspire to be able to eat from somebody that makes an artist like that. When you take your creativity and your art that God gave you in cooking, and you're able to couple it with business, because people look at you and say, oh, what an amazing chef. But that is a small fraction of the empire that you have created. What does that say? And how are you able to couple those two things together? What I love doing, what I'm great at doing, but also the ability to monetize it.
Well, I think it's a simple thing in life. You know, my mother told me that very young when I left for France. I was 17 years old. I left my home when I was 14. So as I said before, I never went to high school. I never studied much math or whatsoever, or economics. And I knew, my mother told me, you know, just make sure you always make more money than you spend. You know what? It is so simple. Sometimes we try to overdo things. You know, when I have a restaurant, for example, when you know you're going to bring in, let's say, $10,000 a day, and you know you cannot spend more than $3,000 on labor. Yeah. That's about the right percentage, you know, 30% on labor. And then you have the food, maybe it's 25-27% in the upscale restaurant. So you know that how much you can spend to make the restaurant work, because there's a lot of fixed expenses, but there's also some unexpected expenses. So I think, to me, it's not as simple. Yes, there are people who make spreadsheets all the time and says, oh, we have the forecast for next year, whatever. I said, you know, play it by ear too, because now you know if there's a slow time of the year, like this summer, Vegas was slower than the last two summers. So, you know, if you don't act fast enough to cut down on labor, you're going to lose money really fast. Because one of the things people don't believe in an expensive restaurant or luxury restaurants like Spago or like Cut or Karama or whatever is the margins are very small. The investment is very high. So people say, oh, they charge $150 a person. And then they think they must make $100 profit on it. It's not true. It's very small, you know. So that's why it's very difficult. And that's why so many of the upscale restaurants go out of business, you know. Yeah. It's a rarity that a restaurant like Spago in Las Vegas is open since 92. So it's 32 years now. Yeah. Spago in Beverly Hills is open since 1982. And so is Chinoa since 83. So I always tell people, what I like the most, or what I'm the most proud of, is longevity. Mm. Being married for a long time, it's very difficult and hard work. Running a restaurant for a long time with all the newcomers coming along, you know, you really have to create an experience for your guests. You know, I want people to feel good when they leave my restaurant and say, I can't wait to come back, because they treated us like we are the most important people. And that's really how they treat you is as important as the food. You know, food is part of your whole experience. If you feel good, if we want to make you feel really special, doesn't matter if it's a once in a year event or you come once a month or once a week. You know, everybody has to be treated special, not just celebrities or somebody who is famous.
I walked in spring of 2005. I walked out of Spago with my wife feeling like probably the best feeling I'd ever had besides the birth of my kids in that moment, that I had created a life that I could take my wife to this restaurant that we had dreamed of going to at Spago. And when you leave, it makes you feel significant that the decisions you're making in your life are the right decisions. So thank you for helping me with that experience that you didn't even know you created.
That is all.
Yeah, and you know, often, like, I had a friend, I know him quite well, in the music business. He did really well for a while, but then he went down. And he said, he calls me up and said, Wolfgang, I want to bring my fiance for dinner. I promised her I gonna come for, I think it was her birthday, to Spago, because she heard about it so much. So, but he said, you know, I really don't have the money to spend right now. I have to pay rent. I have to pay my car. I have to do this and that. I don't know if it was true. I said, you know what? You're a good guy and you are upfront and you seems like you're an honest person. Just come. I invite you and your girlfriend. And, you know, she was so happy. I thought she's going to leave him for me.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say that the purposes are intertwined when he talked about marriage is like a restaurant, that longevity and consistency, it's difficult. And obviously to have a long marriage. And I just assumed Wolfgang was talking to our wives earlier and they asked him to make sure that he mentioned that being married to us is just like owning a restaurant.
Yeah, right.
It's very difficult and challenging in order to last the test of time. I'm only 27 years into it. His restaurants have outlasted my marriage so far, but I keep bringing for my anniversary, my wife, to Spago's and other restaurants of Wolfgang's. And that seems to be a redemption plan. A little bit of forgiveness is warranted after you get that beautiful experience. There is love in food, and the expression of God, that genius of Wolfgang Puck, allows him to be at the top of the game throughout his entire career since he was 19. Everybody else knew it. Now he knows it as well. Wolfgang Puck, we look forward to seeing you. None of us need a free meal, but we are definitely looking forward to having one. What an experience would it be to have a meal with Wolfgang in Beverly Hills or here in Las Vegas? That's what my ask is going to be of you, my friend, that we get to take you to dinner. We'll pay, and we would appreciate that immensely, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we have some great wines and cocktails, whatever it is, and we can go to Cutthroats Inc. or even like I like to go when I'm in Vegas to go to 1228 downtown and have a good breakfast. Like I love the croissants there. And, you know, when you go up in Europe, croissants and pain au chocolat and all these things are really an important part, you know. So I love my good cappuccino and the croissants. So 1228 is amazing too. So you start in the morning. Whatever we do, we try to do it really well. You know, if it's a simple bread, a baguette, or if it's a great steak or a wonderful fish, but it has to be an experience. You know, I always tell people about an experience I had at Barney's. Barney's was a famous department store. They even had one in Las Vegas at the Venetian. So I go into Barney's in Beverly Hills, and nobody looked at me. Nobody said hello. There were four people in this little corner where they have the computers where you pay. And I walked in and nobody said good morning, nothing. Finally, I got so upset. I said, if that would be my restaurant, I would fire these four people on the spot. I went up to the counter and said, good morning. And finally, they looked at me as if I was crazy. So no customer didn't welcome me. I didn't feel good. I still bought my two pairs of jeans, but I didn't go back. And sure enough, 2 years later, they filed for bankruptcy because they forgot that the guests are more important than any computer in the world. Mm. You arrive in a restaurant, look at the computer and don't look up and say, hello, welcome, glad to have you here. I think then you have a problem.
Yeah. Well, I love that, and definitely have a new bucket list item to have breakfast or dinner with Wolfgang Puck here in Las Vegas with three of my best friends.
Can I give you a potential quick dinner or lunch or brunch conversation?
Yeah.
I had a total insight when you were talking. LaShawn and I share something, and GSP, that we both had incredibly supportive families for our careers. And this, there's a U-shaped curve here. So people with super supportive families can go on to achieve very, very high performance. Generally speaking, the middle is parents don't pay any attention, and there's very few high performers in any field in that. And then sadly, you sort of have the opposite where parents are abusive in a way of where they withdraw affection for performance. It feels like you've had both, which I've never heard before. You had a mother that was on the left side, mm-hmm. a father on the right side. So you kind of got the best of all worlds because both work. Not to say that you would love that, but this would be a
share in that. Mother way up here, still is. My dad was over here. So what a great analogy. We look forward to discussing that at breakfast or dinner with you. It's invitations, not obligations, but we're buying. So if that is at all available, that's my next invitation, Wolfgang. Thanks for joining us.
Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, Wolfgang.
You're amazing. The incredible Wolfgang Puck, the genius of culinary arts, the Hall of Fame of culinary arts himself. What a pleasure and a privilege it is to have him join us here on Office Hours.